when any stress, suffering, or death occurs, all the life forms in the surrounding area have an immediate electrical response, as if they all share the pain. Baxter first got the idea to wire up chicken eggs when a philodendron plant had a strong reaction, right as he cracked one open for breakfast. Even though he used conventional, non-fertilized eggs from the grocery store, Baxter's electroded eggs displayed unexpected behavior, including patterns similar to a heartbeat on an EEG and complex cycles within cycles on an EKG. One of Baxter's electroded eggs had a sudden shock when he picked up his Siamese cat Sam and startled him out of a deep sleep. Even more impressive is the graph of an electroded egg screaming each time its former neighbors are dropped into boiling water, one by one. This egg was kept inside a lead-lined box that screened out all electromagnetic fields. That meant this effect could not be due to any radio waves, microwaves, or other electromagnetic frequencies. Baxter clearly understood the importance of shielding out electromagnetic fields in an experiment like this. At the suggestion of several scientists, and the physicists in particular, I later attempted to shield the smaller electroded plants from electromagnetic interference by using a copper screen cage, also known as a Faraday cage. The plants behaved as if the screen cage enclosure did not exist. Much later, I had the opportunity to confirm this using a state-of-the-art shielded room. I felt certain the information passing between plants, bacteria, insects, animals, and humans was not within the known electromagnetic frequencies, AM, FM, or any form of signal which could be shielded by ordinary means. Distance seemed to impose no limitation. I made observations that suggested that this signal could traverse dozens, even hundreds of miles. It seemed that the signal may not even fall within the electromagnetic spectrum. If not, this would certainly have profound implications. This is one of many such investigations that proved the source field is almost certainly not electromagnetic, EM. Every scientist knows EM waves cannot penetrate through lead-lined enclosures, copper-screened Faraday cages, and/or shielded rooms. Baxter's experiments with human cells made his discovery far more personal. In these experiments, Baxter would obtain living cells from someone's mouth by having him swish a little water around and spit it into a test tube. This tube was then whirled in a centrifuge, bringing the living white blood cells to the top, which Baxter extracted with an eyedropper. The cells were then placed into a tiny 1 milliliter test tube and electroded with very thin gold wires. These living samples could survive this way for 10 to 12 hours, giving high-quality reactions the entire time. My favorite example of Baxter's work with human cells was performed with NASA astronaut Dr. Brian O'Leary in 1988, who served on the faculties of Cornell University, California Institute of Technology, University of California, and Princeton University. O'Leary brought an ex-lady friend along to the lab, and apparently they had a strong argument, which provided ample opportunity for him to witness firsthand extremely high-quality chart reactions. O'Leary then left for the San Diego airport so he could fly back to Phoenix, Arizona, some 300 miles away. He synchronized watches with Baxter, and his cells were monitored in the lab the entire time. It was previously agreed that Dr. O'Leary would keep an accurate log of events which might have caused him momentary anxiety. These included missing a turn on the freeway while returning his rental car to the airport, nearly missing his flight because of the long line at the ticket counter, his flight's departure and landing in Phoenix, his son's failure to meet him on time at the airport, and a number of other logged events. Later, when comparisons were made by transferring the logged events to the appropriate portions of the chart recording, there was a good correlation between chart reactions and nearly all of the perceived anxieties. His chart became very quiet, after he returned home and retired for the evening. I discussed this experiment with Dr. O'Leary over a private dinner in Zurich, Switzerland, while we were both speaking at a conference, and he confirmed to me how amazed he was by it. His own mind was broadcasting waves of information that were being picked up by his living cells in a lab 300 miles away. The effect works just as well if the cells are kept in shielded rooms, again proving the signals are not being transmitted by electromagnetic energy. There is something out there, some energy field, that allows our thoughts to propagate through space, even over vast distances. The implications of this are stunning, particularly when you start to consider how it seems that every living thing in nature is listening to everything else. We are definitely not excluded from this process. I've lectured on this subject a number of times, and invariably the audience groans when they find out that vegetables, fruits, yogurt, eggs, and the living cells in raw meat are all screaming when they are cooked and/or eaten. Even hardcore vegan vegetarian raw foodists, who consider themselves to be on a cruelty-free diet, are now faced with the fact that the food they eat must go through measurable distress, at least from a human's perspective. Even if you do not cook your vegetables, your digestive activity still has a burning effect. Baxter did tell me that if you pray over your food by sending it positive, loving thoughts, it then seems to accept its role in helping you stay alive, and these severe reactions no longer occur on the graph paper. Many cultures and spiritual traditions encourage us to thank our food. With Baxter's research, we now see that this seemingly unimportant behavior, from a scientific standpoint, has a definite purpose in our new model.